discussing some of the halachot of Sheva Berachot. Last time we learned, we discussed the general mitzvah of reciting Sheva Berachot at the meals that follow for the week of the wedding. The week that follows after the wedding, we have a mitzvah, an opportunity, not an obligation, to get together and relive the wedding experience. Relive the wedding experience for the chatan and kala and or for the guests. And at the end of that wedding experience, we recite Birkat HaMazon. At the end of Birkat HaMazon, we add on 7 Berachot from HaGefen through Asher Bara, Sason Mishimcha, Chatan Echala, and that is called Sheva Berachot. We discuss the special introduction to the Sheva Berachot of the Zimun. We say Shasimcha Bimono. And now we're discussing the general, with the specific parameters, the requirements, the situations in which one may recite Sheva Berachot. We said first and foremost, you must have a minyan of adults, Jewish males, and not women, children, or avadim. Then we discussed how you need to have a seuda, the peculiar opinion of the geonim, that you don't need to have a seuda, and how that minhag lasted in some communities for a very long time until it was eventually squashed by Rabbi Shub. And then, finally, and now we are left with two major topics. One of them is Beit Chatanim, the location of the Sheva Berachot Seuda, the home of the Chatan and Kala. And then the last one is Panim Chadashot, which has many, many details. The former is just a massive machloket. It's not in so detailed, it's just very, very, very opinionated. It's not a matter of detail. So tonight we're going to do Beit Chatanim, the house of the Chatan and Kala. And tomorrow night, and the night after, Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll do Panim Chadashot. And maybe if I'm here on Thursday, we'll conclude with some final points. Be'ezrat Hashem. Okay, so let's go. The Gemara says, Masechet Sukkah, Dav Chafei Amud Aleph, Amud Bet. The Gemara says, Ein Simcha Ela V'chupa. The Gemara says, the primary location and the only location of the Simcha of Chatan Echala is in the Chupa, in the home that they had. As we said, even in Iran 50 years ago, the minhag was that a Chatan Echala got married in the house of the Chatan's parents. And that's where they lived for a considerable amount of time. So as they celebrated for the week of the wedding, the week of Sheva Berachot, that was in the house of the Chatan Echala. And that's where they had the Chupa and everything, and wonderful. That's why there was no Yichud room, he said. So now, that reality existed 2,000 years ago, 1,800 years ago, in the times of the Chachamim as well. That you got married in the house of the Chatan and Kala's parents, and that's where you lived, or at least your own home. And that's where they celebrated for an entire week. So any simcha external to that venue is not considered a simcha Chatan and Kala, and it's not viable for the recitation of Sheva Berachot. Now, it says, at this point, we have a Gemara that seems to say there's nowhere else you can recite Sheva Berachot but the Chatan and Kala's home. But Tosafot, the Rosh, the Ran, Beit Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, all tackle this sugya of where can you recite Sheva Berachot? What if they move in the middle? Let's say a guy is from Long Island, he marries a girl from Toronto, and they have the wedding in Long Island, and they go to Toronto. Can you have Sheva Berachot meals there also? So basically, what it comes out is, in Shulchan Aruch it writes, like the Tosafot, maybe like the Rosh, it's unclear who agrees, who disagrees. It says that if the Chatan and Kala are planning on going back to their home tonight, or at any point during the week, seemingly, you may not recite Sheva Berachot in the current location. But if the Chatan and Kala completely, I emphasize the word completely, the gamre, move themselves and their whole entourage, the whole simcha, all the guests, all the friends, all the family, to a specific venue, and then that venue may count as the house of the Chatan and Kala. So now what does that mean? In 2018, we have these things called apartments in Washington Heights that seat maybe tops 30, if you really want to push it, 40 people in an apartment. But every single night that you want to have the poor Chatan and Kala have to host and feed and clean up after tons of people, it's not going to give them any simcha after one night. Okay, one night in your apartment is very cute and nice, but it's not really going to be so nice after a week. What do you do when everyone wants to go to Kolbe, they want to go to Shiraz, they want to go to Chosen, they want to go to Golan or somebody's house, and they want to have Sheva Berachot there? Can you do that? Does that count? Why do we do it, and why is it okay? How does we do it? So how come you're allowed to do such a thing, and does anything change in the application of the halachot when you do that? So the Shulchan Aruch seems to say that you have to completely move yourself. So at this point, I just want to clarify and give everyone a forewarning that every step of this topic, the entire development of Torah Sheba'al Peh, from the Gemara through the Rishonim to the Shulchan Aruch and the current Minhag, is completely debatable. Every posek in the world has an opinion. You name one, he has one, about how to read each step of the way. Rav Yaakov Hillel has a 30-page, at least when I put it in my Microsoft Word document, and his Sefer is probably more, a 30-page teshuvah, where he analyzes section after section, Gemara, Rashi, Tosfot, Rabbeinu Peretz, Rosh, Tur, Beit Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, Nosei Kelim. He goes one after the other, like a machine gun, and carefully explains what each one holds. So clearly, whatever I tell you tonight is debatable, and don't get offended if I say something you don't like about what you should do, what you shouldn't do. But we should know that this is all part of Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was mitaken Shivat Yimei HaMishteh and Shivat Yimei HaAvelut. And the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us a beautiful Torah to learn, so that's what we're going to cover tonight. Be'ezrat Hashem, halacha l'maaseh, ask Rav Ben Chaim. And I'll tell you what he says also, but you should ask him anyway, because it's fun. Anyway, so what are the opinions? Shulchan Aruch seems to be super machmir. Seems to be that as long as I don't pick up and move all my belongings to whatever, my parents' house, Kolbe, I have to pick up my bed, my couch, my TV, everything that I have, and put it in Kolbe. If I don't do that, I cannot recite Sheva Brachot in Kolbe. So what's going on? How do we do this today? So it happens to be Rav Ezra Atiyeh, who is Rosh Yeshiva of Parat Yosef, the father of a class of Gedolei Hador. He was the Rosh Yeshiva for Rav Ovadia, Chacham Ben Tzion Avashal, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, Rav Ben Chaim, Chacham Baruch Ben Chaim. All these great Sfaradi Rosh Yeshiva, if you go look on the Wikipedia pages, you'll learn a lot more. He is of the opinion that the Minhag in Yerushalayim was to be Machmir. And you do not count any location other than the home of the Chatan and Kala, literally, as the Chatan and Kala's house. They know, though, that he was okay with Ashkenazim reciting Sheva Berachot at venues other than the Chatan and Kala's house, and we have to understand why. But at least we understand that he is the Machmir. He is the main Shita. He is the face of the stringent opinion. And his great Talmidim, at least his three foremost Talmidim, Harav Ovadia, Harav Mordechai Eliyahu, and Chacham Ben Tzion Avashau, were all unanimously Machmir, but with a little bit of a difference in each one of their Shitot. In Harav Ovadia, there's three major, each of them requires you to be in the house of the Chatan and Kala, but then there are certain parameters that they're okay with in different flavors and shades. And then the main issues are reciting all of the Berachot, or none of the Berachot, or maybe there's a middle stage. Maybe there's, can you allow Ashkenazim, who will explain, Mekel will explain their Shita, can you allow them to recite the Berachot for you? And the third issue is, do the house of the Chatan, and maybe even his parents and his parents-in-law count as Beit Chatanim? So now let's go through the Shitot. Rav Ovadia holds that at least, even if you don't have Beit Chatanim, you don't have the house of the Chatan and Kala literally, you may still recite Borei Peri Agefen and the last of the Sheva Brachot, Asher Baras Ason Simcha, at whatever venue you are for Sparadim. And on top of that, he doesn't say so lechatchila, but he's okay with it with the Avad. If you have a very distinguished Ashkenazi present, you may honor him with the recitation of Sheva Berachot at your meal, even though you are a Sfaradi and it's not okay for you. Bidiyavad, if you have such a person. Your Rosh Hashiva, your father-in-law, if he's Ashkenazi, etc. And then, so that's why it works out very well. You make a Sheva Brachot at a restaurant, you invite a couple Ashkenazim, you give Birkat HaMazon and HaGefen to one of your Sfaradi friends, and then you give Asher Barah to another Sfaradi friend, and the five Brachot in the middle give to Ashkenazim, and you cover everything that way. You can have a whole meal with whole Sheva Brachot, and it works. At the same time, Rav Ovadia is machmir over his colleagues and says that you cannot count the house of the parents of the Chatan or the Kala as Beit Chatanim. Now, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu is super... This is all Rav Ovadia. I told you three opinions, three parts. There's Asher Bara alone, Rav Ovadia says yes. Ashkenazim, Rav Ovadia, Bedocha, Bekoshi says yes. And house of the parents, Rav Ovadia says no. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, however, is super machmir. He says, Ashkenazim, you can like barely count. And you can't even recite Asher Baral without the house of the Chatan and Kala. If you're not there, you can't do anything. But Rav Mordechai Eliyahu is Mekel. This is very good to know if you're Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, Nick, that you can go to the house of the Chatan's parents, and that counts as Beit Chatanim, or if they all get together for like a Shabbat Chatan, the last day of the Shabbat Brachot in a hotel or something, that's also okay. And Chacham Ben Tzion Avashau is the most Mekel. Everything I told you about, he says, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Even maybe according to some Talmidim of Chacham Etzion, you can count the, in his opinion, you can count the rented hall, the restaurant, as Beit Chatanim, but I think that's not true. I think that the Talmud doesn't understand what his Rebbe said, but it seems to be different opinions about what Rav Etzion of Ashal said. Now, those are the three Machmir opinions. There are great Rabbanim aside for them who hold like them, but these are the Gedolei Ador who do hold that way. Rav Amar holds that way also. Now, what do the Ashkenazim do? The Ashkenazim are super mekel. Wherever they go, they can do whatever they want and it's okay. So this is all based on the famous, well-known opinion of the Taz. The Turi Zahav writes on in Ebn Ezer right there, in Sivan Samach Bet, that anywhere where the, because there isn't enough space where the Chatan Kala live, everywhere they go, that you make a Suda, the Chor Chatan Kala, that's an extension of their home. The Simcha overflows out of their apartment in Washington Heights, right? Kinit Zion Teitzei Torah, into Kolbe. And that's where you can recite Shev Rachot, that counts as Beit Chatanim. Of course, this is all with the understanding that they want to be there. If you're dragging them halfway across, you know, from Long Island, from like Great Neck to Lakewood, you're not making anyone happy by making him drive for 3 hours. So that would not be enough simcha for the Chatan Mikala. Aruch HaShulchan has a different opinion. He says nowadays that we have the wedding in a hotel, we never even start by setting ourselves into the house of the Chatan Mikala. That would itself mean that you never have to be there. So he completely obliterates this necessity. That's the opinion of the Ashkenazim. Now, how come all the Sfaradim in the world are except for the Rav Avadia Nix, the hardcore Rav Avadia Nix, I'm not talking about the Chalash ones. The hardcore Rav Avadia Nix, how come they're okay with this? You ask basically any Sfaradi why they did this at his Sheva Bracho. The answer is very simple. Rav Ben Chaim holds like the Taz. That's the given. The moment you ask him, Harav Sheva Bracho, Anachnu Poskim Kama Taz, Zel, he's not going to talk to you, he's going to turn on his phone and call someone else. That's basically how Rav Ben Chaim is, and that's what he's going to do. But we hold like the Taz, says Rav Ben Chaim. So everybody in this room is Meshadi. You have nothing to worry about. This whole topic doesn't apply to you. But for those who aren't, it's kedai to know. It's kedai to know what the opinions are. Because the Taz says it overflows. That everywhere becomes my house because I'm happier to be there than in my apartment. There isn't enough room. If you have a house, you know, Jeffrey Gorgi, he went to hang, his brother got married, and he got rented a house right away. So they made Shev Rachot in their house every night. But if you don't rent a house, so then you don't. Huh? Aruch HaShulchan is also good, but he's also quoted by some Sfaradim. Yeah? So now, this is the point where it gets very, very fuzzy. All the Sfaradim poskim, great and not, all the Sfaradim poskim sit together and crack their heads to try to understand why we can be mekel. They offer very creative interpretations of Shulchan Aruch. They offer opportunity. They offer ways of evading the Shulchan Aruch, reading the Shulchan Aruch, getting rid of the Shulchan Aruch. They offer all sorts of interesting creative ways to allow Sfaradim to recite Shev Brachot, such as renting out the restaurant, making a kinyan sudar to purchase the entire area. Very, very interesting. Probably not necessary. Ways to get around this. Some say that Yaakov Hillel says, based on his read of Tosafot, you need to have an apirion. You need to have some sort of physical sign on the table that says this is for the Chatan Mekala, like they used to have in the Zman of the Tanai of the Balei Tosafot. Now there's a whole machloket by Marakin Minhagim, because the Marakins and the Taimanim always had both of them. They've always had the Simcha in the house of the Chatan Mekala. They never had a situation where you were outside of the Chatan Mekala. So Rav Mazuz and some say, yeah, but if you ask them, could you go outside? They would say yes. And Rav Amar says, no. That's what they did. What are you talking about? And others say, okay, there's different minhagim. Different communities have different minhagim.
So in the Moroccans,
some do, yeah. Wow. Rav Amar says they have to, because that's what they used to do in Morocco also. But tachlis, what the halacha is for Moroccans is that there were so many different Moroccan communities, each one with its own Beit Din and minhagim, and you can't give me a specific psak for all the Moroccans in the room. They fight for a reason, because they have different minhagim throughout. So now let's just review. We covered a major topic for tonight, and everybody is much more well-informed about how in the times of the Chachamim, and even up until recent years, recent history, the minhag was to celebrate in the house of the Chatan Vikala for the whole week. And that's why they said that you have to be there in the house of the Chatan Vikala for the week in order to recite Shev Berachot in that location. So, given that, Chachamim said you have to be there. So now there's all sorts of ways to read all the different sources in this topic. And Rav Ezra Atiyah and his Talmidim, Rav Ovadia, Rav Mordechai Yo, and Chacham Etzion HaBashal, or Machmir, that you can only do it in the house of the Chatan Mekala, according to some of them, even in the house of the parents of the Chatan Mekala, and according to the Taz and Ashkenazim and Aruch HaShulchan, wherever they go, that's part of the Simcha, it's Beseder, and Svaradim are Mekilim, they're any posik in the world, aside from the three that I told you basically, and Rav Amar basically is Mekil. So if you want a posik, pick one out of the hat. Even Ashkenazim are Mekil for Svaradim. Some Ashkenazi poskim, like Rav Feinhandler, the Avnei Yashve, he's a tremendous baki in Svaradi Psak also. So he thinks, according to the Chida, a Svaradi who goes to an Ashkenazi's Shav Brachot can recite Shav Brachot for the Ashkenazi. Rav Ovadia disagrees. But there's a lot of talk about all these different pratim. The first night of the wedding, by the way, you're not in the house of the Chazan Mekala, how can you recite Shav Brachot? The answer is, that is their current home. Everybody's there. All their things are there. They haven't gone anywhere else yet to settle down anywhere. Similarly, at my wedding, I had a YU apartment that only became available the day of our wedding. So we didn't move anything in before our wedding. So we opened the door, and even once we moved things in during Shav Brachot, we didn't have any air conditioning. It was in the middle of July, middle of June. So there were, beginning of July, middle of June, it wasn't livable. So we had tables, we had couches, we had fans, but we didn't sleep there. So we did one night of Shav Brachot there, in the middle of the week, got married on a Sunday, and Wednesday night Shav Brachot was in my apartment. So it was like 20 people, whatever. Huh? It wasn't so hot. No, it was good. It was good weather. Baruch Hashem, open the doors, windows, whatever. So that wasn't Beit Chatanim. Because I wasn't living there. It was my apartment. But I wasn't living there at the time. So we gave the Svaradim, Hagefen and Asher Bara. And we gave all the Ashkenazim, the other Berachos. And we got covered that. But it was worked out very well that way. I was living at my parents' house. And Rav Avadia holds, parents' house doesn't count. But if you don't have an apartment, you don't have anywhere else to live, you're living in your parents' house. So b'chavod, that's your house also. Yeah, I asked Rav Avram Yosef. I sent a message to Rav Avram Yosef, former chief rabbi of Cholon, and I clarified for him. If you don't have an apartment, you live at your parents' house, and you're there for Shabbat Chatan, does that count? He said yes. So we had a Shabbat Chatan in my parents' house, and I gave some Svaradim, some of the brachot also. We didn't have enough Svaradim to give them everything, but we gave them some also. So Be'ezrat Hashem, everybody should be zocha to know the halachot through and through, to know how to apply them in all the different situations, now that we've learned about them, and not to fight about them, because you know now that there are so many different shitot. So, we should be zocher to apply it. I don't know. That's a good ending here.
It seems like there's
no way to go wrong with these. Yeah. It's Bracha Levatel, it's just a deraita. Anyone have any questions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost not both. Like, already as far as you not shy, those probably go from the And then, let's say they're forced by their parents to do it, but Ashkenazi way, whatever. Are they responsible for other Sephardim saying Brachot
Levatel? I don't know. Will you ask me what I do? I had a Shavuot Brachot at Kolbe, and I let my Dayjans recite Shavuot Brachot for me. I gave them the microphone. They didn't understand. They barely were able to pronounce the words anyway. But I let them do it anyways. I think there's plenty on Mali Smoke. You could just say them. It's not like they're Shulchan Aruch. But there's plenty on Mali. But a person who has an actual Shita has to really figure out if you can do this or not. Because if you actually follow a specific posik all the time, so that doesn't allow you the opportunity necessarily to deviate in how you act in your halacha. So you should daven that you never have to break halacha. But in terms of, you know, how to act, you have to ask your rabbi. So Rabbi Elbaz told me that at his wedding, he told his father-in-law, his father-in-law is a big rabbi in Queens, he told his father-in-law that, listen, it's all about simchat chatan v'chala, right? I'm not happy if people are making Berachot Levatel. This is Rabbi Elbaz. You know, he's a very fiery person. So he said, I don't want any Berachot Levatel. You're not going to make me happy. So his father was like, okay, we're going to do it anyway. And they did. They had a Shav Berachot with anyway outside of his house. So, no. But you could do what you do. You try what you can. Do what you can. If you explain to them, if they're not so, they're not such avid Rav Ovadia people, I think Astam Sfaradi has Almali Smoke. You don't have to worry so much, especially Moroccans. So many Moroccan people. Rav Mishash is super, super. Rav Mishash has like 4 teshuvot on the topic. For the first teshuvah, he actually explains his opinion, and then the next 3.5 are spent like destroying the people who are machmir. Like he literally lambasts them over and over again. Idiot, wrong, chamor, everything that he can for 3.5 teshuvot. So okay, there's a lot of Torah here. Any other questions before we close? No? Okay. So now that we...
Can you stop my office?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That's not what I was expecting in terms of questions, but that also works. Okay. No, we are not having it. Okay. Azimon, yeah. Chazak Baruch Adonai Olam.